Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
Hey, well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you online. Obviously, a number of people in our Zoom room this morning, and there's a number of people that see the YouTube clip and our podcasts as well. So this morning, I really want to be able to talk about understanding dynamic realms. You know, I've been a Christian for over 50 years now, and probably in my early foundations as a Christian, I learned a lot about spiritual warfare. I learned a lot about the dynamic realms, but sadly, the church globally for over probably 30 years has heard very, very little about principalities and powers and what demons do and how they attach themselves to people's lives and how they seek to destroy people and mess with their lives and destroy their lives. The reality is there's a war going on for each soul on this planet. The lifespan that we have might be 70, 80, 90 years if we're really lucky, or 100 if we're super lucky. But in that lifespan, there's a war going on over our life. There's a war for our allegiance on who we serve, because the reality is eternity is forever. It goes on and on. It will not cease. But the life that we have is very temporal. It's only like a drip in the bucket, one drop. You know, it's not going to last forever. It's very finite. But during our lifespan, there's an incredible war that goes on over each life, trying to gain an allegiance for the enemy. And that's where dynamics fight and contend over our lives. You know, a number of years ago, fortunately I wasn't around to see it, but World War One was supposed to be the war to end all wars. It took people from the colonies, and obviously it focused on Europe. It was very destructive. Millions of lives were killed. It was supposed to be the war to end all wars. And before that generation passed on, World War II came about, and power brokers came around the world. Obviously, in Japan, we saw Hitler arise. We saw Mussolini in Italy. We saw Franco in Spain. And these world personalities were striving. They were trying to conquer the world. They were trying to grab control of things. And people thought, could it get any worse? Well, we know, as we read the Bible, things are going to get worse and worse as time goes on. We read the back of the Bible, we see Revelation, and we see the battle of Armageddon coming, where there will be a combination of all things. I'll just pick up on Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14. It says this: "And then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." They were demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world, and they gather them to battle in the great day of God the Almighty, which is talking about the battle of Armageddon. And so at the end of the ages that we know it, there will be a gathering of the nations, and there will be an incredible natural battle that goes on before the Lord comes back. But there's a war that goes on daily, weekly, yearly, contesting people's lives and souls. And it's something which we don't see with our physical eyes. The world that we see, smell, and taste is very temporal. But the reality is the supernatural arena is far more real than this temporal world that we walk in and see on a day-by-day basis. And just picking up some other verses in Revelation, Revelation 12 says this: "And then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns and seven crowns on each of his heads. He swept away a third of the stars in the sky and threw them into the earth." This is a picture. The Old Testament prophets talk about it as well. But we know the story, how Lucifer was cast out of heaven. He rebelled. There was pride. There was arrogance. And he saw himself as God. And it wasn't just Lucifer Lucifer did a con job for a third of the angels, and they aligned with him, and God in his righteousness ejected them out of heaven because he was so holy, he couldn't be, you know, connected with sin in any way, shape or form. But these fallen entities, demons, are now on planet Earth, in planet Earth, and they are contending for the souls of mankind, because there's an incredible void in heaven. A third of the angels no longer there. And I believe the Lord is trying to repopulating heaven with peoples who allegiance is for the Lord and not for Lucifer. And this is why we've got this incredible battle that's going on. This is what it says in Matthew 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is Jesus speaking. And so we're seeing that this natural world that we live in is temporal. It's going to disappear. It's going to vaporize and disappear. But God's word will never disappear. It will live on. This world that we live in is an incredibly fragile world. We can see it. You know, a number of years ago, probably would have been 5 years ago, I was doing a seminar up in Borneo. And I flew in late at night, and I was asked to do an evening message. And I stepped into the back of the auditorium, and the room was full of maybe 700 people. And as soon as I stepped across the threshold of the auditorium into the place where we were meeting, I had what I call nanosecond revelation. I had instant revelation that things were going on in a number of the people's lives. And as the worship was going on, God started to layer insight. Revelation came on what problems was happening. And I can sense a number of these young children and even adolescents were waking up at night absolutely terrified, absolutely beyond terrified. A number of them were wetting the bed. A number of them were actually, pooping in the bed as well. Absolutely, that they were in a messy state. And this is the insight that I had. And then I said, Lord, why is this? Why is this? What has actually happened here? And I could see these witch doctors making these curses. And they're actually not making curses. They were actually getting these bones. And these bones, the Lord showed me through Revelation, had come from dead people, from their ancestors. But not just from their ancestors, but also from the bones of fetuses and stillborn children. And they would carve into these bones, and these witch doctors would do these curses and everything, and they would smuggle them into the ministry base which we had. And it wasn't just one. It was like, I think, 70 or 80 of these things were smuggled in. And so we asked the people, and all these people put their hands up all the way through the auditorium. So long story short, we had a massive, great bonfire, and I've got photographs of demons coming out of the bonfire. But just the Lord was just showing me the reality of the occult. There's witch doctors, there's a battle going on, and but the Lord wanted to help, you know, the people whose hearts were given to him. There was deliverance taking place. But the enemy was sneaky. He was trying to smuggle these things into people's rooms, you know, behind the eyes of the leadership there. But the thing is, we do live in a supernatural world. There's a battle going on. During the Second World War, the Battle of Britain, obviously the Allied forces were getting hammered by the Germans, the Luftwaffe, and there were very few pilots. But there's so many documented reports how a number of these planes with dead pilots had actual angels flying the Spitfires and the Hurricanes, and they were defending London. There was lots of prayer going up in the world to protect Great Britain, and the angels were stepping in. They were engaging in that situation. And I really believe that there's an intensification of what's happening in the world today since COVID. And it's like the church is standing up. The angelic warfare is getting amplified. But the church needs to be on the front foot. It can't be on the back foot. And this is what Ephesians, Paul talks about in Ephesians. He's giving us a lens to see what's going on. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So here's the Apostle Paul, you know, he's been caught up into, different layers of heaven. He had lots of revelation, but he saw the spiritual warfare that the church was facing. And it wasn't pretty, but it was very, very real. And the thing is, we have to calibrate our lives to see what we're living in. The natural world is there, but we have to see the spiritual arena at the same time. This is what Derek Prince said. He said, we wrestle against rulers and spiritual powers of various levels, against orders of darkness, against world dominators of darkness, against spiritual fallen powers that were cast out of heaven. So he's taking Ephesians and putting his spin on it. He was a Greek scholar. But the reality is, there's a battle going on. And the church just can't sit on the sidelines looking. And I believe the Lord is saying, you know, come on, guys, wake up. You know, as we've heard, learn to war. We need to get into the game. And to understand Ephesians 6 again more clearly, we understand there's a hierarchy in the kingdom. We see that Lucifer was an archangel. He was a fallen archangel. And it's just like any army where you've got field marshals and generals and colonels and majors and officers and down through the ranks to privates and all that. It's the same with the kingdom of darkness. There's layers of authority. Under Lucifer, we've got principalities. These are heavy-duty demonic beings. And under them, like, there's a sub-layer, powers, fallen powers. And then under them, there's rulers of darkness. And under them, there's demonic hosts. And a lot of these entities are territorial. They have been delegated or designated a geographical location to stand over or monopolize. They could be cities, they could be islands, they could be whole nations. But we know there's a clear demarcation and an allocation because the kingdom of God is organized. And Lucifer, he organized the worship angels of heaven. And there was he knew what it was to have order and structure. And it's the same with the demonic kingdom. There's a descending layer of authority that sort of goes through these principalities and powers. And they're not sitting back. They're wanting to stand up and they're wanting to wrestle. And if we were to put another lens on what's actually happening with these demonic beings, it's not just geographic. We know Buddhism, Hinduism, Tribalism, Islam, these were all world religions and they dominate various segments of our planet. Shintoism, communism, secularism, you know, there's Zoroastrianism, there's all sorts of religious things. There's Confucianism, all these isms are out there. Demonic hosts, they monopolize and control these entities. It's like another grid, another matrix. You know, I always think, you know, why would people want to get involved in Confucianism? You know, it's dumb. You know, we've seen communism. We didn't see communism around a number of years ago, but obviously after World War One, World War Two, we saw it monopolizing our planet through China and through Russia. But they try and take God out of the equation. They put other deities and other things, not deities, but demonic things in control, monopolizing people. And then we've seen, of late, we've seen secularism invade the world. They've taken God right out of the equation because the enemy wants to take God right out of the equation. He wants to put himself in God's place. And so we see this whole watering down of religious values, distorting and discrediting our Lord. And through all these religious things, like even tribalism, going back hundreds of thousands of years, we've also got another lens or matrix called ethnic groups. So within Buddhism, it's not just limiting itself to Thailand, for example. you know, it's through Asia, through China. Hinduism isn't just restricted to India. It goes through Nepal and Tibet and places like Indonesia. It's invading places like Fiji. And so just because it's, you know, a world religion, they try and have these deities positioned, you know, around the world in different levels as well. So just trying to let you understand the big picture that what we're dealing with here as well. A number of years ago, we had one of the first colour TVs in our district, and people came and watched the news. But they also had a program called Dad's Army. And I believe that our dad has got an army. You know, Dad's Army, they had all these home guard fossils, old people, some young people there. And, you know, people had written them off, but they were the last, you know, home guard, you know, layer of defense. But I believe the Lord is actually rising up within his church, Dad's Army, so he can actually conquer. You know, we're not on the defense, we're actually on the attack. And we've got all these unusual people that people would probably never think, oh, you know, they're suitable to front up, basically. But as we look online and who's on Zoom and look around, we see all these odd bodies, all these odd fellows that God's, you know, commandeered. They're in the game, fighting, not sitting back, rolling up their sleeves, not stepping on the back foot, but stepping on the front foot, falling into rank. There's something going on. And, you know, ever since, you know, look, that situation where I saw these witchcraft people trying to control people's lives, the Lord started to really open my eyes more and more to what's happening denomically around the world. When I was in Asia recently, I was really, really disturbed because I had so many people said, Pastor, can you come and pray for me? You know, we've been married for many, many years, and all we've had is miscarriages. We've never been able to conceive. We've never been able to have children. And so just in one meeting, I was in a secondary school, and I said to the staff, there's about 23 staff there, I said, who's never been able to have children? And over half the people put their hands up. So we prayed for them. And I realized wherever I went that week, there were so many people that never had children. And if they had children, they'd die either early on birth or they would be miscarried. And I realized it was witchcraft, pure, unadulterated witchcraft, and dealing with spirits, and wanted to do something about it. And as we're driving around, this picture behind me, you'll see a picture of a tomb. And some of these tombs are actually bigger than the people's houses that they're actually living in. And the reality is, you know, these people, you know, many of them are Christians. Some of them have come through Catholic faith and been born again now. But as they're asleep at night, these demons would come out and physically attack people as they were sleeping. They've been tormented. And I'm realizing this is absolutely crazy. We're on the Lord's side. But then the Lord was showing me that these demonic entities that had been there for hundreds of years, that reckoned that they owned the land, they owned this desecrated, you know, territorial, geographical, you know, lump of land. And the people, they wanted to control and dominate that, but they were losing their foothold. They were getting their eviction notice. They were getting cast out. But they come out at night and attack and torment. And then I'm realizing, no, we've got a job as a church to push these things back and out of the way. There has to be a realignment. There has to be a recalibration. And it's like these people that couldn't have children, you know, it's pure witchcraft. And wherever I went, I saw different layers of the occult taking place and the fear and the control that was just dominating people's lives. And this Holy Spirit indignation rose up, thinking, enough is enough. I've showed this before, I think about a month ago when I was sharing, you know, this, not a good photograph, but these ladies, they were put in these wooden manacles because they were mental. They might have said they were mental. They're actually demonized. And so the local people put them in these wooden manacles, and there was no medical hope for them. There was no care for them. They were just written off people in society. And the thing is, there were so many people physically in bondage like this there. spiritually bound. These demons are actually been bound as well, but what they're doing is actually binding themselves to these people. These demons are, you know, they don't have bodies. You know, you and I have bodies, but these demons want to attach themselves to people's bodies so they can actually work through their lives. You know, so you've got lips. You know, the demons don't have lips, but if you want to go and lie, they need to have lips. You know, if you want to have gluttony or addictions, they've got to have mouths to be able to consume these things. If you are a spirit of lust, you need bodies to be able to inhabit to do lustful things. So these demonic entities attach themselves to people's bodies. You know, sometimes they're in people's bodies, and sometimes they're actually just binding themselves to people's bodies. And we don't want to have debates with these demons. We just need to, you know, cast them out, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The thing is, you know, let's wake up. This is a photograph of one of my team members in Denpasar. You know, they've got a number of Hindu people coming to the faith, and quite regularly they have bonfires where they burn all the trinkets and all the amulets and all those bits and pieces. But one of the girls, she just took a photograph of the fire, thinking, oh, this is interesting, I'll take a photo of the fire. But I don't know if you can see it, but there's a demon coming in the fire there. There's actually a couple of demons. The resolution's not so good, but there's a clear-cut demon coming out. I wish I could show it more clearly on the screen this morning. And here's another one coming out of people. It's upside down. But within it, there's also other little demons, frogs, you know, and that are actually coming out of these fires as they've been incinerated, because their attachment to these things is no longer there, because they've obviously been destroyed. And wherever we go, you know, I've got several photographs of demonic stuff, but I don't really want to glorify demons this morning. I just want us to have our eyes open to what's actually taking place. You know, the occult comes into people's lives through all sorts of gateways. People open themselves up. Sometimes it's intentionally. Sometimes it's just done through simple naivety. But as we look at some of these things, we've got spiritism. Spiritism is like witchcraft, very direct. We got all the potions and all these curses which these people do. Very, very real. I've met a number of warlocks. I've asked them lots of questions, and I've known a lot about it, their modus operandi, on what they do and how they actually operate. Witchcraft, devil worship, is synonymous. That goes together. Voodoo, which you see in Haiti and other tribal locations, exactly the same. It's spiritism. And then you get these things like these games like Dungeons and Dragons. It's just another gateway or another pathway into people's lives through spiritism. And fortune telling is another classic way how these demons try and bind themselves and attach themselves to people's lives. You know, palm reading, you know, where people think, oh, look at your hand, you know, all those lines on your hand, and this means you've got a short life or a long life and all this sort of rubbish. But people believe these lies, and it puts them into greater bondage. That people want to know about the future, so they read tarot cards, they read tea leaves, they look at livers of animals that have been killed. They go to psychics, they go to mediums and try and guess their future. They can't do it. It's just lies and deception. And another pathway is through astrology, where people read horoscopes. Some people think, ha, 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 it's just fun. But what it does, it just impregnates them with lies and deceptions, and they start to believe this rubbish. And so many people, even Christians, are living with the lies of the past, because these barbs of the past have got into their life and their lifestyle. Iridology is another classic form of astrology. What the iridologists do is they divide the eye up into 12 segments, like the zodiac, and try and predict people's future. Astrology, worshipping the moon, worshipping the sun. And then other pathways are like Freemasonry, you know, where we've got these secret lodges. I could spend a couple of days just talking about Freemasonry and how it binds people. But not just Freemasonry, you've got secret societies like Druids, the Odd Fellows, the Illuminati. The Illuminati is so anti-God, it's unbelievable. that's so fully Antichrist. And I've met people that are entrenched Illuminatiists, and they mock God, and they try and discredit him in all sorts of ways. But people open their lives up to these things, but these things attach themselves to people's lives and their children's lives, and generational curses come in and affect and destroy people's lives. People get affected by demons through divination. People get these little wands and they go out and they try and find out where water is or particular allies through divination. They go to clairvoyance. They read all sorts of crazy things. They read crystals, reflexology. Reflexology is where people try and determine how sick you are through looking at your feet and various parts of your feet. It's pure, unadulterated occulticness. Ouija boards, they say it's a bit of a game, it's a bit of a fun, it's funny, ha-ha, it's funny, pathetic, but these Ouija boards are purely occultic. Necromancing, where people want to speak to the dead, you know. Why would you want to speak to a dead person? You want to speak to the living God. The thing is, necromancing, it's connected with ancestry spirits. And so all the way through tribal areas of the world, where you've got tribalism, you've normally got ancestry spirits as well. So, in Indonesia, you've got Java, you've got Borneo, you've got Sumba, you've got all these places like Papua New Guinea, to a number of the islands of the Pacific, you've got, and through Africa, you've got all this ancestry worship going on. Magic, another classic pathway, you know, where people think, oh yeah, black magic, yeah, we'll steer clear of that. But what about white magic? It's the same, it's still deception, it's just got another set of clothes on. Wiccan, witchcraft, all this sort of stuff. Occult herbalism. The occult, what they do is they get herbs and they do all this incantation, and they put curses on these things, and they get people to consume these things. I had a situation a couple of years ago where a lady in Asia, a young girl, was given this little green leaf, and she was told, shh, don't tell anyone where you got it from. And what actually happened, witch doctors had got this leaf, they did their cursing and their mumbo jumbo, and they told someone to take it to this girl, don't tell anyone, and just give it to her and tell her to eat it. And as soon as she ate that leaf, she was demonized. There was like a pathway, it came into her, and she was incredibly affected by this demonic. She became like a physical stone. She could not move. The only thing that she could move were her eyes. And so people think, you know, how could this happen? Well, this is pure occultism. So occult herbalism, potions, you know, love potion number 9 or whatever it is, you know, there's people have all these love potions to try and attract people's attention or to have children, all these incarnations, you know, where they're actually speaking all these words and sayings, you know, abracadabra and all this sort of stuff. It's just pure occultic. Hypnography, you know, where people are hypnotizing people. What they're trying to do is basically mind control and manipulate people. So people's minds go blank, and they operate through people's lives. Yoga is connected with hypnology, you know, where people just meditate. Buddhism is the same, you know, where they just meditate into nothingness. How crazy, meditating into nothingness, transcendental meditation. So we've got several pathways. This is like a limited list that goes on and on. But people get involved with things intentionally, but quite often it's unintentionally. And through their forebears, and you know, like with Freemasonry, it goes on for 10 generations. You know, the curse comes on. And then people get things. They go traveling and they pick up little fetishes, you know, while they're traveling, and they think, ha, ha, ha. But these fetishes have demons part of them, you know. So like in New Zealand, we have the tiki. The tiki is actually a Maori, amulet. And what it is, it's the fetus of an unborn child. So why would you have a carved fetus this of an unborn child around your neck. Why would you do it? And then as you look, you think, why do so many Maori people have miscarriages? Not rocket science. It's because these fetuses, these amulets around their neck is bringing death. It's not bringing blessing. It's putting them into bondage, not bringing them into liberty. And so most cultures in the world, you see these little bracelets or necklaces. Sometimes the necklaces have got bones on from ancestors. It's all part of the occult. And these generational curses go on and on. I've prayed for so many people at altar calls and realized that people have been under the curse of these things through miscarriages and through abortions and things like that. These curses continue on and affecting families. And so I don't really want too much to major on this morning, but my background was with medical. We were sending lots of diagnostic instrumentation, to determine most people's physical sicknesses and situations. But if we want to diagnose what witchcraft and the occult is doing, bottom line is it's control. These demons want to control people's lives. The witchcraft, the occult, want to control and dominate and dictate to people. They put people under incredible fear. There's total domination. There's incredible intimidation. So if you're working with people or connecting with people and you're feeling like you're being dominated or incredible intimidation or fears creeping in or coercion, they're forcing you to do something, there's manipulation going on, straight away, warning, warning, Will Robinson, you know something's going on. And it generally is a demon, more often than not, witchcraft, is trying to rule the roost. Quite interesting, yesterday I was just finished the sermon off and I was going for a dog walk, and I'd never met this person before, and this person came running down the road, ranting and raving, literally. And I'm thinking, this person's physical and they're ranting and raving, but I realized there was something in them that was controlled by the occult forces. And I thought, do I do something about it? Was it my place to do anything about it? It was in public. Probably if I was to rewind again, I probably would have been a little bit more forthright with the person. But it was a demon controlling an individual because they don't want this sort of message going out. Pastor James and Viv this week, obviously down in Martin, cheering for the whole weekend on the occult, trying to bring people into freedom, liberating people from bondage. Very important. But superstition and all this occultic stuff isn't just old, it's also new. We've got superstitions that affect people's lives, not walking under, ladders and, broken mirrors, with all these things which have all these lies affected, Friday the 13th, and horseshoes, all this rubbish. That's old. The devil is rising up with new tactics. And I believe that a pathway for people now is like through computer games. There's a lot of very evil computer games where people are just saturating their whole attention into these games. It's about death and destruction. And what it's doing is just brainwashing these individuals, and it's destroying their lives. Why do we have so many shootings and murders these days? I think a lot of it's because of these computer games. Having drugs, illicit drugs, that controls and destroys people's brains. It just provides yet another pathway into people's lives. I was at a funeral yesterday for a man, Christian man. He died of addictions. He was a chain smoker and he was an alcoholic. These demons were putting his life into bondage, and it would have been good to see him walk free, but he always gravitated to the past. He didn't gravitate to the future. We've got Halloween, and we've got these vampire things thinking this is normal these days. We've got these movies about zombieism and all that. Well, you got to be a zombie to even think like that. Thing is, we've got the old, but the enemy is fighting back. He's trying to brainwash our new generation, and we have to be aware of that. Generational curses, we know what it is with Freemasonry, but people get affected through abortion, through rapes, through incest. Don't want to go into this this morning, but We just have to be aware. And I believe the Lord is giving us eyes of discernment to be able to recognize what the enemy is doing with people's lives so we can actually set them free. This is what Colossians says. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over them by the cross. You know, Jesus had it all sorted out at the cross. These principalities and powers who thought they had it won absolutely got disarmed. He made a public spectacle of them for eternity, triumph over them. And this is what Jesus said to his church right at the very beginning. He said, go and announce them to the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead. It's challenging, isn't it? Cure those with leprosy and cast out demons. And it wasn't just a suggestion. It was a command. And I really believe that the Lord is telling us to learn to war, to step up, to step out, to be aware of what's actually happening so we can be part of the army that's making an incredible difference and to help people wherever they're at. And just a couple of closing thoughts just as we end off. Have you ever exposed yourself to, you know, any of these occultic influences intentionally? You know, and if you have, you know, what have you done about it? You know, have you done anything about it? Or do you still need to do something about it? And if you need to do something about it, it comes back to this bottom line. It's still affecting your life in some meaningful way. It might be a tormenting spirit. It might be a lie. It might be something like that that you need to be released. You may not have something in you, but you may have something on you because these demons want to attach themselves. They bind themselves to you like shackles because they need to inhabit people or territory to gain dominance. And so we just want to see freedom take place in people's lives. And final thought, what is God asking you to do with what you've actually learned today? You know, obviously our eyes have been opened to the supernatural arena. Maybe there's people that you're connected with that you can be part of the answer to bring that liberty to them. Jesus said, go, you know, and cast the demons out. And so there might be an intentionality to go to someone and to see them set free. We don't have to have a debating society about it. We just need to go in the fullness and the power of the name of Jesus and the victory of the cross and just command these nasty little things to get out and not to come back. So God bless you. God keep you. And I hope this has been interesting for you.